You're listening to The Shepherd's Voice with Archbishop George J. Lucas, a podcast for the Archdiocese of Omaha. Today's conversation, sharing the journey with migrants and refugees. Archbishop, could you share with us the purpose and scope of the Share the Journey campaign that the Holy See recently announced?
The Holy See has announced that Pope Francis will launch a campaign, which is being called Share the Journey, on September 27th. And we expect that during his audience that day, he will make some kind of a symbolic gesture, which he's very good at. So we don't exactly know what he's going to do, but we'll see. But I think it'll be something that will indicate his desire that all of us join him in somehow embracing those who have migrated into our countries, into our cities from other places. We recall that the very first trip that Pope Francis made outside of Rome after he was elected was to the island of Lampedusa, where many refugees land coming across the Mediterranean from Africa, trying to reach what they hope will be a better life in Europe, and many perish on the journey. So from the beginning of his pontificate, this has been an important part of the Holy Father's message, an important theme that he has been stressing. He's going to stress it anew, and he's inviting bishops and Catholics, people of goodwill all over the world, to beginning on September 27th, but then in days and weeks following, to focus on the lives and the dignity and on the plight of migrants and refugees around the world. He also will ask us, I'm fairly certain, to reach out in some way, some practical way, to accompany those who find themselves away from their native lands.
Now, this campaign comes at a time when the world is seeing the largest number of migrants and refugees since World War II, a reality you saw face-to-face during your trip to Uganda with Catholic Relief Services. How did that experience affect the way you see this humanitarian issue?
It shouldn't surprise us that the Holy Father is focusing on this issue because we are at a moment in history when one of the largest groups of people, not a single group, but largest numbers of people, we might say, have migrated, and many are refugees, living in very difficult circumstances, having fled their own homes with the clothes on their backs, and sometimes after having lost some family members, it's what made them think that they had to leave for their own safety. I recently had the opportunity to travel to Uganda with Catholic Relief Services. I serve on their board, and they had put this trip together for several board members so that we could see the work of Catholic Relief Services in that one country. They work in over 100 countries. Really a highlight of the trip, and I say that with some reservation because it's not what you would normally think of as a highlight, but certainly one of the most moving parts of that trip was the opportunity to visit a refugee settlement in the northern part of the country of Uganda. The settlement's called Bidi Bidi, and it is home now to over 300,000 refugees from South Sudan who have traveled there on foot from their homeland where they have been suffering terrible persecution and famine. Currently, there are between 1,800 and 2,000 people arriving there daily. And it's the size of in this country would be a medium-sized city in terms of the population. So we try to imagine, a medium-sized city with no running water, no sanitation, no supermarkets, no doctors, no anything. The Ugandan government has been hospitable to receive them, and then many other agencies, the United Nations, one of the lead agencies, but then Catholic Relief Services playing a big role in helping meet the basic humanitarian needs of these refugees. It was a privilege to be able to see them face to face. Pope Francis keeps reminding us that we don't want to just think of people in groups, but they have faces and they have names. So to be able to meet some of the refugees face to face and then to listen to their stories. We had the opportunity to listen to the harrowing experiences that caused them to flee from their own country, and then to speak to them about what they hoped for now. And as you can imagine, adults hoping for safety for their children They're hoping for to be able to live in peace and to be healthy, to have food, just the simple things that so many of us take for granted. Before I visited there, I was fairly certain that I was in a good place in terms of thinking and praying for refugees and realizing that we, as a global community, really have a corporate responsibility to care for them, to meet them, to accompany them. But having the opportunity, the privilege really of meeting people face-to-face and hearing them talk about their experience has just brought the reality of it home to me. I think that's part of the reason that the Holy Father is inviting us to participate in this Share the Journey campaign. I think he would like us all to get more personally invested in what is not just an issue or a worldwide problem, you might say, but to be somehow more invested in the lives of our brothers and sisters in the human family who are really living in desperate conditions. One of the beautiful things we saw in the refugee settlement was so many good people coming to the aid of the refugees and approaching them with great dignity and respect and offering just the things that they most needed at that moment. That need is ongoing, and so that wasn't a one-day proposition for the people who are assisting them. It was a one-day visit for us, but very much a long-term commitment for others. The Holy Father is inviting us also to keep in mind that there are other people who migrate who are not refugees, strictly speaking, but who are moving from very difficult circumstances to a place where they imagine that they can have a better life, where they can live in safety and dignity. And particularly we think of parents fleeing with their children so that their children can have a better life, maybe opportunities that would not be available in their home country. Here in our area in Nebraska, we are able to come face-to-face to meet people in both categories. There are refugee families who have been resettled here who are now part of our community, and we really must be grateful to the organizations, parishes, individual people who really invest a great deal of time and energy and care in helping a refugee family to be resettled. Much larger is the number of those who have migrated here for various reasons, but who form now a big part of our Catholic community and of the life and the culture of our cities and our towns in the state of Nebraska.
So what message do you hope to convey to Catholics and others throughout the Archdiocese? What actions do you invite us to take?
When we did listening sessions around the Archdiocese a couple of years ago leading up to the formulation of our pastoral vision, one of the things that we heard very clearly from people all over, and we heard it in English and we heard it in Spanish, was the desire for a greater unity and a greater sense of belonging to the community of the church as a whole. I think there was a sense that we are often living past one another, and that might be living past people of other generations or rural people and urban people not being in contact with one another. But during this Share the Journey campaign, I think I'd like us particularly to recognize that there are members of our community who are, come from other cultures originally, maybe speak a different language from what I speak, but certainly have different gifts, different God-given gifts, and many varied and different experiences from what some of us who were born here or who lived here a long time might have. My hope would be then that we would begin to notice each other and that we wouldn't be so much just living past each other. I hope that we could see in our brothers and sisters who have come here as immigrants or refugees, we could see another member of the human family created in the image and likeness of God who desires to belong just like I do, just like we all do. Perhaps there'll be an opportunity to think about how we might accompany those who are somewhat new to our communities and then be ready to be accompanied ourselves, you know, to have it be a mutual experience, a mutual exchange of gifts as we begin to know each other, respect each other, appreciate each other more.
A key step in sharing the journey locally, which you recently announced, will take place on September 27th. That's your visit with immigrants and refugees at the Juan Diego Center in Omaha. That's a ministry of the Archdiocese, for those who aren't aware. What do you hope to learn and share with them at that event?
The Holy Father is suggesting that bishops around the world, on the same day that he's going to be beginning this campaign in Rome, that we have some experience locally that would help to highlight the presence and the importance in our communities of migrants and refugees. I look forward on that day here in Omaha to have a listening session at the Juan Diego Center with a group that I hope will include immigrants and refugees both. I thought rather than just sort of a photo op, it might be good on this day to do something that would actually help me in my ministry as the diocesan pastor, but also begin to help us in our community do what the Holy Father is asking, to notice one another, to get to know each other, to accompany each other. So somewhat similarly to what we did at the refugee camp in Uganda, I would really look forward to the opportunity to listen if people are generous enough to share their experience, why they might have left their country of origin. What was the important or the compelling reason that encouraged them to take such a drastic step for themselves, for their families? I'd like to hear them speak about what their experience here is these days. I've never been in the situation, you know, I've traveled to other cultures for just occasional visits, but have never had to pick up and try to make my home in a place that was very different from where I had grown up. So I've heard other people speak about this before, but I think on that day, in that listening session, I'd be very open to hearing that. Then I think I'd like to invite people to express their hopes for the future and not presume that I know what those are. Let them speak for themselves, and then we'll see. But also, what I hope it can communicate to those that are there on that day, but also to other immigrants and refugees in our area, is that the church does want to listen to them. We do notice them, and we value them. I consider them to be great blessings to me in my own ministry and in our church and in our communities. Many of the immigrants living in Omaha are the people that welcomed me when I came 8 years ago. And I've felt a very warm welcome and still do in those communities. I'd like to think we can maybe give more people that experience where we can come to know each other as brothers and sisters and enjoy each other's company, maybe even become friends if that's the Lord's plan for us. But there's more enrichment and more a deeper respect, I think, that can be engendered.
Now, we know this effort is also taking place at a time when the DACA program in our country is threatened with being terminated in the next 6 months. Are there actions that the local church will take in trying to help those who are possibly facing deportation or who are confused or concerned about their situation?
The decision of the president to sort of rescind the DACA a program that had been put in place by executive order by President Obama has just thrown the lives of many people into great confusion and uncertainty. It seems that nothing is going to happen immediately, and the president has challenged Congress to come up with a permanent solution for those who came here as very young people, sometimes children or infants. Came with their parents, so they're here, not because of their decision, but because their parents brought them here, but now are using their gifts and prospering and contributing to the life of the community in various ways. There's no good reason, in most cases, that they should not be able to stay. I think it's important that those young people and others, members of their families, members of the community, know that the church is with them, that we see them as our brothers and sisters and we respect them. And we want them to live in peace and to be able to prosper and use their gifts in this country as they already have been doing. This whole issue in the United States fits into this larger context that the Holy Father is inviting us to consider as we share the journey with those who have moved from another place and now try to make a life for themselves and be part of a vibrant community in the places where they have come to live. We're responsible for our brothers and sisters. We're our brother's keeper, to use the scriptural phrase. So say that the people are on the wrong side of the law, and so they're of no concern to us except we get rid of them, is not in line with the gospel. They are our brothers and sisters, and so to come to an understanding of how the law might be able to support them and their dignity, let them continue to contribute to the common good, as we see very readily that so many in this DACA category are already doing.
So we might say for us that the first law is charity?
Yes. Well, the commandment is to love our neighbor, and that has practical implications for us. And we don't just get to pick who the neighbor is that we want to love, but we love the neighbor who needs our love, the one who's in need. So I would say these young people, young men and women who are now living in a very uncertain space, are our neighbors. And we shouldn't just leave them by the side of the road and hope that somebody figures out what to do for them. It's the responsibility of Congress, ultimately, but Congress should be responsible to us. And so I think we all could perhaps bring some pressure for a just resolution to this that will really benefit the country and benefit those who are living with the uncertainty.
Thank you for listening to The Shepherd's Voice. For more information, visit archomaha.org/podcast